oil company and the courts.
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. American shareholders are suing the British oil giant BP over the partial shutdown of its Prudhoe Bay oil field in Alaska. The lawsuit accuses BP executives of negligence. From London, Stephen Beard reports.
The group of U.S. shareholders accuses BP's senior management of poor maintenance. They claim that executives allowed one of the company's prized assets, the Prudhoe Bay oil field, to decay, that they were well aware of corrosion in a pipeline but did nothing until it leaked. BP then closed down production in half the oil field. Replacing the corroded pipes will cost the company up to $200 million. The shareholders' lawsuit is yet another blow, says Justin Urquhart-Stewart of Seven Investment.
This is bad news on top of further bad news, and I suspect for BP this isn't going to go away. I suspect there will be other lawsuits, particularly relating to environmental issues.
The company is already under investigation following a huge oil leak in the same field earlier this year. A spokesperson at BP's London headquarters refused to comment on the lawsuit. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
So you've gotten off the plane. You had to dump all the liquids out of your carry-on bag. Maybe you had to ditch the mouthwash and other items. Well, if you're renting a car from Avis beginning today, you'll find a surprise inside. The car company is putting a bag of toiletries from Procter & Gamble on the front seat. It's a reaction to the new security measures at U.S. airports. Of course, you can also pack these things in your suitcase and check them in, but who has time to think about that? Packets of ketchup or something else you can't bring on planes. One maker of the red stuff is at the center of attention in the business world. A bitter proxy fight at Heinz reaches a crescendo at an annual board meeting today. Activist shareholder Nelson Peltz has stirred things up at the company. Marketplace's Lisa Napoli reports.
Not since the Reagan administration classified ketchup as a vegetable have so many people been so riled up over the stuff. Nelson Peltz isn't happy with Heinz stock performance or management, and he's been pushing a dissident slate of candidates for the board. Teresa Lindemann of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette says since Peltz came on the scene earlier this year, he's shaken up the 130-year-old company.
He's already done a lot just by being there. Stock has gone up just since he expressed interest.
20%. Heinz calls Peltz's accusations mudslinging. Anyone hoping for a quick outcome to today's fight for control over Heinz should remember that old theme song.
Anticipation.
It could be a month till all the votes are counted. By the way, Heinz's top seller in the U.S. isn't ketchup. It's frozen French fries. In Los Angeles, I'm Lisa Napoli for Marketplace.
AOL is on a treasure hunt. Last year, it won a $12 million judgment against a guy who sent massive amounts of spam to AOL subscribers. Davis Wolfgang Hawk has disappeared. It's believed he buried some gold and platinum on his parents' property, so a judge has given AOL the right to go digging for it. A lot of people thought yesterday's producer price index showed inflation was in check, and that led to lots of buying on Wall Street. The Dow soared 132 points to 11,230. The Nasdaq climbed 45 points to 2115. This is Marketplace. Hewlett-Packard will announce its earnings today, and they're expected to meet Wall Street's expectations. Charlotte Baer says with competitors faltering, HP can make some gains.
Hewlett-Packard has a few tricks up its sleeve as computer sales slow. The world's number two PC seller also dominates the printing industry. Technology analyst Rob Enderle says that keeps HP stable when one of its divisions lags.
The printing industry is relatively immune to the quarterly fluctuations that occur in other segments that HP is in.
Enderle says HP has also streamlined its business, something it was behind in doing.
They were running in a race, and Hewlett-Packard had dropped far behind because it was wearing the lead shoes. HP took off the lead shoes. The rest of the track had to slow down, but HP, relative to the rest of the track, sped up a lot.
But some say challenges remain from the company's merger with Compaq and continuing PC price wars. I'm Charlotte Baer for Marketplace.
You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report, produced and distributed by American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reuters. The facts, without spin, as they happen. Reuters helps you stay in the know now. And by Fast Signs, providing sign and graphic solutions to businesses worldwide. Information available at fastsigns.com.
This is Marketplace. I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Economic growth continues in China. Investment in fixed assets like airports or apartment blocks is slowing a bit, but many economists see that as good news. China is the world's fourth largest economy. That nation's growth has led to a lot of extra money in the bank accounts of a swelling middle class. Some of that cash is finding its way into art auction houses. Marketplace's Jocelyn Ford takes us behind the scenes.
The scene, a crowded Beijing hotel ballroom on a Saturday afternoon. 500 people look on as a debonair auctioneer in a tuxedo quietly talks up the price of a 1940 masterpiece. It's by the first Chinese artist to do Western oil painting. Final price, $3.78 million. That's an all-time record for a Chinese oil painting.
Amazing. I'm so glad I came in.
Art professor Bingyi Huang was one of the people in the crowd trying to figure out what's behind China's brand new interest in its own contemporary oil paintings.
It used to be international collectors pretty much owning a large part of it, but the last 2 years, things have been changing. It's a domestic market. It really is booming.
Prices have doubled and tripled, and Chinese buyers have started making the rounds at international auction houses. They include people like scrap metal importer Lina Zhang. 2 years ago, Lina wasn't interested in art, but her friend convinced her it's a good investment.
In Beijing, investment for housing is not.
She says these days real estate doesn't give very good returns. Lina and her partner have bought 70 paintings, and she figures they've already doubled in value. In a country where most people believe the stock market is rigged, art writer Michael Hatch says paintings look like a good investment.
You got real estate and you've got art, essentially, here. And so, if you don't like houses, well, why not a really great painting? It makes you cultured as well.
But many people think the auctions are also rigged, sometimes by artists. Brian Wallace opened China's first contemporary art gallery 16 years ago.
In the domestic auction, it's a total manipulation of the market.
This is how it works. The artist pays a commission to the auction house and gets someone to put in a very high, phony bid. The bidder doesn't actually pay or bring the picture home. Then the artist hits up the gallery.
Some artists come back and say, well, I was in that auction last week. My work got that high price, so I think the prices should go up. But any smart gallery owner won't play that game.
When this auction turns to contemporary ink paintings, veteran auction goer Tsai Peng Chen says he smells some funny business.
The price may be not so reasonable.
Tsai estimates over a third of auction goers in China are speculators. They buy in the spring, sell in the fall. So after 10 years of collecting, the retired doctor is thinking of dropping out of the market for well-known Chinese oil painters and focusing on young no-name artists. In Beijing, I'm Jocelyn Ford for Marketplace.
We're podcasting. Check out our website at marketplace.org. And in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
Organic. It's not just.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.